All right, let's start hour number two. I am Jim Rome. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope your day's off to a good start. I had a good first hour. Nick Nurse came in. Kyle Whittingham came in. I came in. This program's brought to you by Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rockin' Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I made a couple of things clear also in hour number one. Coming up later on this hour, Pistons guard Langston Galloway. That's coming up at 40 past. I did make a couple of things clear in hour number one. First and foremost, it was a good call week last week, especially the latter part of the week. Thursday was a great call day. Friday was a great call day. I'm hoping the momentum carries into today that we jump the week or jump the weekend. Almost everybody murdered their call last week except Reggie in the OC and Johnny in Texas, who called in on Friday and referred to me as Joe to my face. Right on my face. All right, so 1-800-636-8686 is your number. The other thing that I made clear in hour number one, I've been saying all along that having a golden ticket does not guarantee you get on the air the day of the smack-off. I'm going to do you one better. Having a golden ticket, and you know this too, having a golden ticket today does not guarantee that you'll have it that day. You could do something between now and then and get it ripped. I want to add to that. You can do nothing between now and then and get it ripped. In fact, doing nothing between now and then with a golden ticket almost assuredly will get it ripped. And sooner than later, don't hoard it, don't hide it, or you'll lose it. All right, instead of starting the top of hour number two with another one of my takes or rants, let's go to the phones. You have your number. There is one line open right now. You can get there. Let's go first to Matt in Vancouver. There has been one top 10 Canadian finish in the history of the Smack-Off. Matt is the guy that did it. He finished 10th. We go there first. Hey, Matt, what's up?
What up, Rome? I am one pissed off Canuck, my friend.
What's up?
I had to dump Tyler in Edmonton's ass last year because he kept calling me his silly wabbit. What? Yeah, his silly wabbit. And now here I am. I'm taking this Canada Heat personally, Rome. I'm a perpetual road team. I'm outmanned. I'm outgunned. But I wouldn't want it any other damn way. But then I hear Adam Hawk come in on the air last week and calls Canada's efforts pathetic. The same Adam Hawk who is such an insufferable D-bag that everyone not named Alvin Alpha has quit for far worse jobs just to avoid this idiot's banter and moronic ideas. Hawk has done less to enhance your brand, Rome, than that crop-dusting valet from the Geisha House. Sarah T's husband, watching her thirst after every coordinator or aged-out QB, thinks Hawk is a simp. I'll be back to hold on some smack-off, hand out some smack-off, free nap soon, Rome, but I'm too pissed off today. War Reggie in the OC going full Reese McGuire during his calls. War Canada's comeback. Peace!
I'm okay with racking that, even though he crushed you, Adam. Adam, did you call them pathetic? You did, right? All right, so he didn't take that well. I didn't call it pathetic, I don't think. I don't know, Drew, you tell me. Either Nut or Drew, did I call them pathetic? I don't think so, it's not like me. I usually have Canada's back. Hell, I put on Nick Nurse in hour number one. I am here to pump you up, Canada, but I'm also here to state the facts, and frankly, I didn't know that fact. I didn't know that fun fact. I didn't know that fun fact that you had one top 10 finish in the history of the Smack-Off. Stucknut was the one that presented that fact. And a fact it is. So you can call that whatever you want. You might take offense to Adam Hawk calling that pathetic. What would you call it if not pathetic? Awesome? Prolific? But I'm not here to name call. I want you in the Smack-Off. I got no issue with you hitting the board. That'd be amazing. I have no issue with you winning. That'd be the best story ever. A Canadian rose up and ripped our competition. But it's also partly your competition. Canada has been a part of the jungle since 1998. So in that sense, you are family. But in that sense, one top 10 finish to show for it? That's it? That's not prolific. Since 98. Since 98. Now, to Matt's point, I understand that you're outnumbered. You're outmanned. I get that. And whereas in America, there are about 200 affiliates. In Canada, I don't even know what the number is right now. That number's been anywhere from 1 to 9. I don't even know how many affiliates we have in Canada right now. I get that. You're outnumbered. You're outmanned. I'm just saying, one top 10 finish since 98 is not great. Do better. I hope you do. But apparently Canada's pissed. Matt is not the only one who's pissed. His aforementioned running mate, his aforementioned wingman is in. We go there next. Let's go to Edmonton. Tyler in Edmonton. Tyler, how are you?
Romy, I'm doing good, man. How are you doing?
Good, dude. Good.
Well, I got a quick ATP for Hawk. And no, Hawk, it doesn't stand for Ask the Pros. It actually stands for Ask the Plug. Hawk, have you ever broken 100 on the golf course without taking multiple mulligans and gimme putts? Bro, you're running a golf clothing line with a bunch of dudes that use colored golf balls. Yeah, I know. It's all part of the style. It's all about looking like you don't care that you suck at golf. What are you going to tell me next, Hawk, that you have a double-sided putter in your bag too? Romy, Hawk is so bad at golf that he actually has one of those junior sets of sticks that consist of about 8 hybrid clubs and 1 actual iron, because when he tries to use a real 4-iron, Romy, he strikes the ball about as well as 45 trying to hit a curveball. Hawk, it isn't really your place to be calling Canadians pathetic. When you're the guy who actually works for Rome, and you flame out more than any caller I've ever heard, ever. Hawk, I've been listening to Rome for over like 15 years, and there has never been an EP that flames out more than you do. Romy, since Hawk was so pumped about the Canadian smack-off stats, I decided to do a little digging on Hawk's stats with the radio program, you know, the one that he actually works for. And you brought him on air 78 times. He's been racked once. You've ran him 57 of those times, and he's flamed out the other 20. The numbers don't lie, Romy. The guy is basically parody Larry. To quote Hawk, that is pathetic. Thanks as always, Romy. I'm out.
You got it, Tyler. Rack him, too. Hey, Adam. Yeah, you already have the headphones on. That's interesting. That's curious. You never do. Did you put them on in anticipation of responding to this? All right, so you called them pathetic, and that got that reaction. Did you just say their calls suck? Oh, their phone lines always suck. You know, if you had just stated the fact that they had one top 10 finish since the inception or since Canada joined the jungle, you probably could have spared yourself all this abuse. Maybe not, but probably. I'm directing that at you, Hawk. Sorry. Is there anybody else in that studio named Hawk?
No, I was just listening. It was great, great take by you. You know, Matt stuttered through his entire takedown of me. And then Tyler insinuated that we used colored golf balls, which is not true.
You didn't hear one word after that, did you?
Well, that's just not true. And then he made up these stats that don't make any sense at all. I don't ever remember getting run or flaming out while talking with you on the show about the show. Yeah, I've never gotten racked either. They were interesting phone calls, and I merely had my headphones on so I could pay close attention to them because, like you, I appreciate Team Canada, even though their efforts have been pathetic in the smack-off history. I don't know what else you call one top 10 finish over 25 years.
Atta boy. That's what you do. You double down on a take like that. Well done. Hey, listen, really quickly about your new golf clothing company. Do the guys who represent the company played with colored golf balls?
Absolutely not.
Do they not care? Do they want to suck?
No.
And do they want you to know they suck?
No. The other two guys, the other two founders are scratch golfers, and that is a fact. You can look up their handicaps. I'm not going to name drop them on the radio, but they are scratch golfers. They belong to a country club, and they're very good at golf, and we've got great golf clothes, and that's just it. Nice try, Tyler.
I'm just going point by point. Have you ever broken 100?
Many times.
Without all those things?
Many, many times.
Without mulligans, gimme putts?
I can't remember the last time I shot over 100, to be honest with you. I'm not a great golfer, but I hover in the mid-80s to low 90s. That's not great at all. That's a handicap of 15 or 16, which I do keep. And, yeah, I'm a very, very average golfer.
What's in your
golfer.
Bag? Any of the things that he mentioned?
No, some TaylorMade R11s are in the bag. Not the greatest clubs, but it's not like I'm A-Rod showing up at Riviera. I've got decent
clubs.
Did you
go to a pro shop and price them out and get that price and then run to Amazon and shop that price around?
No. I only do that with running shoes because, you know, that was a bad move on my part, and I apologize to the running shoe sales lady for that, especially
are
now.
Are you sorry you put her through that, or are you sorry that you got caught?
Well, I self-reported.
You got caught is you admitted it, right?
Yeah, I self-reported. I'm sorry I put her through that.
Okay.
Her shoes did lead me to a six-hour marathon, and shoes that I got from Eric Gilson and led me to a five-hour marathon. So,
but now you digress.
Kind of her fault. Yeah.
But now you digress. You know, I guess what you have going for you is I don't know that anybody outside of those two from Canada is going to call. Maybe Bella. Or maybe Chris in Toronto. He's got a golden ticket. We'll see what else. All right, Adam Hawk, EP, doubling down, saying, hey, listen, nothing against Team Canada. You know what? I got his back on that one. I have his back on that. Adam said it, and I think that's accurate. He's like, look, I've got their back. The thing about Hawk is this. Say what you want about him as an EP and how he does on the air compared to our other EPs. Hey, look at the bright side. He's never going to go get his own show. Hey-o! Just kidding, Adam. No, I'm not. The thing about it is, as an EP, he cares deeply about the show. I know this. Like I've constantly said to the guys in the XR4TI, take care of the show will take care of you. Take care of the show will take care of you. I learned this early on. I learned this way before I got into this business. I learned this at my dinner table with my parents who owned a small business. It was hammered into my head from day one. Take care of the business and the business will take care of you. Hawk, more than anybody who has ever worked here, appreciates that. How do I know? He's the only one who's ever repeated it to me. So, Hawk knows what's good for the show is what's good for him and everybody around here. And Hawk knows that Canada being active on the show is good for the show. So when he says, I've got Canada's back, that's accurate. He's not coming for you. He's not going in on you. He's basically saying, if you've got one top 10 finish since 1998, that's pretty pathetic. I'm not here to name call Canada, and I want you. I don't want to get on the wrong side of you, Canada. Hell, I've spent decades taking up for you and saying how important you are to the show. But it's kind of hard to argue that point, isn't it? Would it be different if I said it? Are you more offended that Hawk said you were pathetic? Or are you offended that somebody said you were pathetic? And would you take the same offense if I said it or Alvin said it? Or is it a Hawk thing? Because it's kind of hard to argue with the stats. One top 10 finish since 98. 1-800-636-8686. Canada, where are you? Jay Wags, 15 tweets. War Adam Hawk, giving it right back to those Canadian callers. Change his name to Eagle. USA. USA. See, this is not, again, a USA v. Canada thing, all right? I've tried to say that since day one. I'm not picking sides here. This is more of a Hawk v. Matt thing. Hawk v. Tyler. They're the ones who took offense. As far as Hawk being reinstated as a hawk and not a sparrow or a pigeon, he's going to need to do more than that. Just pushing back once is not going to get him back to hawk status. Not to go all Mike Jordan on you. Remember, Mike Jordan was the one who said that Will Perdue was Vanderbilt because he's not good enough to be called a Big Ten school. Yeah, I don't want to be like that. Like, Hawk, you're really a sparrow. You're not good enough to be a hawk. Stucknut is back in. Stucknut writes, one top 10 finish for Canada is not pathetic. It's expected. See, now it's getting personal. I disagree with that. Matt's got game. Tyler had game. I would expect more. And these are just two guys in the last few years. Canada has been in the jungle since 1998. The smack-off goes back to what? 95? 96? Canada's been in since 98. I would expect more than one top 10 finish. We've had some callers over the years. They should do better. So no, I wouldn't say expected. I would expect more. I would expect better. 1-800-636-8686. Let's let them represent. We have a Canadian golden ticket holder. It's Chris in Toronto. He deserves to be a part of this discussion. Let's go there right now. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Hey, Jim. Dang, Walmart Brothers taking care of Hawk. I mean, I guess we can say one thing that he does have going for him is that he's better than Jay Stu. whatever that's worth. Hey, great interview with the architect, Nick Nurse. Everybody wanted to point to Kawhi, but look at where we are minus him, but with the same head coach. Let's hope we get the season back to defend what's ours. And, Jim, it was a great weekend. I'm not sure what we're going to do now on Sunday nights without watching the GOAT. Wait, I'm not talking about the yellow-eyed assassin Michael Jordan. I mean the guy MJ treated like a GOAT in this documentary was Scottie Pippen. Yo, what the heck did Scottie do to MJ besides help him win 6 chips to cause him to show every bad moment from his career? Was this an actual Bulls documentary or a continuation from MJ's Hall of Fame speech? I mean, I don't know who's happier that this is over, Krause's family or Tippin. Jim, in this documentary, MJ called himself both God and Black Jesus, which must have been very confusing to a guy from our beloved jungle that also, I guess, thinks that he's God. Apparently, the hack in Vegas has still glossed himself as Smack Off Cal, the best to ever do it, and who said in an actual tweet, Jim and the crew just wanted to hear God on the radio, and today they got that. Jim, where do we even start with this? I mean, besides having Albie insert every single laugh track that he has. JTP, you guys do what you do with the whole God thing because all my comebacks will get me run. But, Jim, explain to me how someone that has never even placed in a smack-off is now taking one and some second-place finishes. Cal's greatest accomplishment is just getting on the air almost 4 years ago. Jim, Playoff P, which is Paul George's weird self-gloss despite not getting out of the first round since 2014, thinks this guy is delusional. Broadway Victor thinks you need a new self-gloss. So, hey, God, make sure you take your Sabbath day on 6/19. Yeah, I know, Cal. Hey, Chris, next time you come to Vegas, I'm going to fight you. Hey, Jim, finally, over the weekend, I did get a chance to check out the Stucknut Radio Smack-Off show. And on a serious note, big ups to the Stucknut crew for putting this thing together. I mean, my boy Matt and Van represented, and Rick, I said Rick like in Buffalo, not Rit. Old man, turn up your hearing aid. But and Caleb was in there, and Jim, it was a good show, and Rick asked about me, and then some wannabe comedian named Johnny Scabs took a run at me, saying I sounded like someone who just logged into Stucknut, heard some takes, and then recycled them. Now, look, I hate doing this because I already hate punching down with Cal, and I'm a nice guy, and I'm really punching down with this Scabs guy, but he said my name, Jim. So right after he said that, he started going in on Caleb for being a, wait for it, Jim, because no one has ever talked about this before, a virgin. Good thing that wasn't a recycled take. Way to keep things fresh, Johnny, who also apparently can't call your show because he, quote, can't do PG radio. Right. Yeah, it has nothing to do with half the time you can't even get past Hawk, and whose most famous time getting on the show was during your self-gloss segment as the, quote-unquote, helmet scuffer. Look, the point of here is not to bury a non-factor as much as just to say, look, this is fun for me. I'm just getting my reps in before the big day. I also love that people who can't actually get on the show themselves and that sound like they're giving birth when they're on the line with you want to give other people advice about calling. Stay in your lane, fellas, and keep my name out your mouth. Unless, of course, you're saying nice things about me.
Chris! Shark! Shark! My man, get out of the water. Get to safe land. Swim, Chris! Shark! 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 What we do is, on award shows, sometimes the Jaws music comes up. That means get the hell off the stage. Your time is up. But I don't want to run him. That's my hedge. I didn't run him. I didn't take his golden ticket. He still has that. He ran out of time. Call was fine. It was good enough. He just went too long. But he took my advice to heart. If you're a golden ticket recipient, use it. Use it or lose it. You have to re-earn it. Just having it's not enough. Hey, Adam. I'm going to let you send me to break really quickly. All right, so essentially that segment was for you because that segment was in reaction to you last week. So as I go to break, I would like your reaction to them and your reaction to that segment as EP.
That was a truly pathetic segment by Canada.
There is your triple down. If I were you, Hawk, I'd walk off on that. You are getting closer to getting your name back, Hawk. A truly pathetic segment. He has now tripled down, Canada. And Chris in Toronto is already being glossed DA in Toronto. I bet if you pick up my man right now, he's still going. All right, let's take a break. Langston Galloway coming up at 40 past. Stay tuned. Good call day. That's three in a row. Even when they're not good, they're good. Even when they're not good, they're especially good. Now more than ever, we need people with the right skills to support our communities, especially the frontline workers who provide resources and care for those who are most in need. To help out, LinkedIn is offering free job posts for healthcare and essential service organizations that need to quickly fill critical roles with the people who help us all. So if you're hiring for one of these organizations, job posts on LinkedIn can help you quickly find the right people for your front line. LinkedIn can help you find frontline workers from their active community of over 675 million members. LinkedIn Jobs screens candidates for the skills and the experience that you're looking for and puts your job post in front of qualified people who meet your requirements, so you can find the right person to quickly fill critical roles. To post a healthcare or essential service job for free, or if you're in another industry altogether and you do have hiring needs, just visit LinkedIn.com/Rome, LinkedIn.com/ROME. Terms and conditions do apply. LinkedIn.com/Rome.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Tonight, starting at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, CBS Sports Network tees off a night of golf, starting with a double dose of Nick Faldo. Then we follow that up with Off the Hosel. Two friends put a fun twist on the classic game. Langston Galloway is coming up at 40 past, so I've got a short segment right here. And then the third hour is wide open, and I've got a lot to get to still yet. In the meantime, let's keep going to the phones. Taking a lot of phone calls, which I like. That might be one of the silver linings of the pandemic. A lot of you are around. You don't have a lot to do. You're calling the program. It's our third day in a row where callers have been a major part of the show, which I like. I usually get that like three times a year. Three times in a row. Let's go to Melbourne. Justin. Hey, Justin. How are you?
Good, Romy. How you doing, buddy?
Super. Great.
You know, I'm not really surprised Tyler called. Monkey see, monkey do. Matt makes a strong call. Then apparently Tyler thinks they're still boys. Word to Tyler, dude, he dropped you like a bad habit 2 years ago. To be honest with you, Tyler, you haven't been the same since. A couple weeks ago, Romy smashes you, and you turn yellow. I mean, Tyler, when I thought of Edmonton, I used to think of grit. Jeff Bookaboom, Kelly Buckberger, and the late, great Dave Semenko. When I think of Edmonton, Tyler, I don't think of you. You got a couple things going for you. Yeah, you could throw some weights around. You got a decent-looking Laylee. But let's be real, Tyler. Parody Larry could get action in Edmonton on the nightly. There was a time, Tyler, when you tried to make Edmonton relevant. But let's be real. Edmonton hasn't been relevant since the great one got traded to the city of Botox and Booger Sugar in the 80s. War, Mark Cuban, and the mayor, Sean Casey, repping the 412 for life. I'm out.
Got that plane down, didn't you, Justin? Barely. Did you say that Tyler had a nice-looking Laylee? 1-800-636-8686. I'm not really sure why the phrase booger sugar made me laugh today. But I guess if you deliver the phrase booger sugar correctly and in the right context, it might still. 1-800-636-8686. I said it would be a short segment. Keep that in mind. Dear Jim, Chris in Toronto's call was self-indulgent, overlong, and brought the show to a grinding halt. Yours, drum solos at concerts. Brett from Bugaha. Little explanation. A number of you are wondering why he didn't get the chopper. In fact, a lot of you are pissed that he did not get the chopper. The reason he didn't get the chopper is he didn't do anything reckless. He didn't do anything irresponsible. He didn't do anything to bring me down or the show down. He didn't do anything to warrant it. He just went too long. And he's relatively new to it. Maybe not as a listener, but as a caller, he just needs to refine that. He needs to go to school on that. If he were to make that same call again soon, he might get choppered. But at least he's calling. At least he's contributing. I still think at the end of the day, he makes it better, not worse. That's why he didn't get choppered. That doesn't mean he won't. He still could. Or, and I don't think it's really in this guy's character, his personality, but if this guy were to lay out and hide and not come back in after that, then he could still get choppered. If you have a golden ticket, it doesn't mean that you've earned it and you're golden. It means you have to keep earning it. You have to re-earn it or you will lose it. When we return, Langston Galloway joins me. Pistons guard. And then we are open phones the rest of the way. Your chance to get your own golden ticket. Your chance to be a factor 32 days from today. Smack Off 26. The winner gets $5,000 guaranteed. The runner-up gets $0 guaranteed. The third-place finisher gets even less, also guaranteed. Hey, Justin, what's a Laylee?
You got a decent-looking Laylee.
I happen to think his Laylee's hot.
You got a decent-looking Laylee.
But I'm not one to talk about another man's Laylee.
Can Laylee.
How about that, Laylee?
Can Laylee.
Let me open up the Laylee's line.
Can Laylee.
More Laylee clones.
Can Laylee.
More Laylee clones.
Can Laylee.
More Laylee clones.
More Laylee clones.
Can Laylee.
Langston Galloway's coming up next, but first, here's
Home Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Another really good day. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. It's a good day because we had Nick Nurse, Toronto Raptors head coach. We had Kyle Whittingham, Utah head football coach. We had a lot of good phone calls and a few crappy ones. Good day. I like it. I'm live. I'm in Southern California. Welcome back. And we continue now with a conversation with a guard with the Detroit Pistons. He is now in his sixth NBA season, averaging better than 10 points per game this year. First team all-conference player at St. Joseph's. He was undrafted back in 2014 out of St. Joseph's. He is the founder of LGKicks9.com. He is Langston Galloway. Langston, nice to have you back. First off, how are you doing right now, Langston, in this really unusual time?
Jim, thanks for having me on. Yeah, no, I'm excited to be back on. And, yeah, just been really staying busy. It's been an opportune time for a lot of business adventures that I've been associated with, LG Kicks, growing that, building out a business plan, then getting the opportunity to kind of figure out, like, what's my next step. I've kind of started a program if I wanted to get my certification to be a personal trainer after I'm done playing, kind of doing that. And then also, too, just helping the foundation and helping the kids in the community that need help right now. So it's been a lot of different things going on, but I'm enjoying it.
I like it. Langston Galloway is joining us. I know you've had some quality time with the fam as well. In fact, you've been running on a treadmill with your son on his own mini treadmill. You've been doing some outdoor workouts, including sled pushes. How much have you enjoyed the challenge of staying in shape when you can't get into a gym or a fitness center because it is so different?
Yeah, no, it's been difficult because I know the challenge of that. But it's actually been amazing being in the role of, like, 6 years in the league, like, having the opportunity to help my wife work out while I'm working out as well. So that's been beneficial. And then having our son, like, he just turned 2 the other day, and he's working out with us and watching what we do. So, yeah, it's been great just to, you know, see him grow, but at the same time, too, having the different connections at the league level that have really put me in good relationships with all the different workout equipment that I can kind of sport around the house.
Langston Galloway is joining us. That helps. Listen, I had Dwayne Casey on the show a few weeks back, and we talked about how he found out the season was being suspended. You guys were playing in Philadelphia on the night of March 11th. If you were to go back, what do you remember about finding out about the season being suspended?
Yeah, we were on the bench. And I think the third quarter had just started, and me and a couple of my teammates were sitting at the toward the end of the bench, and then there were some fans that were sitting, like, the way the Philly court is set up, like, the fans sit right next to you. And one of the fans said, "Whoa, man, I think Rudy Gobert just got it," and they just postponed the game. So one of our security guards, like, right after that, ran in the back and, like, came back out like probably 5-10 minutes after the game, I was like, hey, man, it's true, man. This might be it. This might be the last game. And we were like over there just contemplating like, wow, this is about to change the whole aspect and dynamic of sports. And, you know, next thing you know, we got the news and, man, it's been a different world we're living in now.
And changed so dramatically right when you got that message. And then you got the news that one of your teammates had tested positive. What was that like for you?
It was first and foremost, like once I found out that my teammate had it, I was like, hey, let me go get tested because I have a family at home. I have my wife, my mother-in-law that lives with us, and then also my little man that was at the time one, but now he's two. And, yeah, I was like, hey, look, I just don't want to be around them and having this. I just don't know the symptoms. I don't know what's going on. So I literally, like the next day, we got back to Detroit. I went and got tested. And then my results came back probably 4 or 5 days after that and came back negative. So I was relieved, but I still was cautious. I still was very cautious and just didn't want to, you know, get in their faces and in case something else came up. Like, I just was just being very cautious, very cautious.
Langston Galloway is joining us. You know, from a basketball standpoint, it's been a really challenging year in the sense that you're currently out of a playoff spot with just over 16 games left in the regular season or some portion of them. I mean, is there a part of you that thinks that the season might already be over? What's your process?
Nah, I think that from the standpoint of us, the Pistons organization, I think that if we were able to come back and play, I mean, I really want to go out there and finish out the season strong, no matter what position we were in, finishing up with the Philly game. Like, we were really getting a rhythm, and there was a lot of young guys after a couple of trades and whatnot. So the biggest thing for us was getting our rhythm and then starting to build a core with the young guys, and it was starting to come around. But, any way we can kind of get better, and that's playing for sure.
Now, last time you were on, we talked about your journey to the NBA and the fact that you were undrafted, you spent some time in the G League, then with the Knicks, the Pelicans, and the Kings. Now that you've earned the trust of Dwayne Casey both on both ends of the floor, do you feel like you've established yourself?
Kind of paranoid chip on my shoulder because I know that the way I got in this league, I was always just trying to scratch and claw to get a foot in the door. And I know that a blink of an eye, I could be out the league tomorrow. So that's why I never take any day for granted. I'm always looking at opportunities to go out there and make the most of it. So every single opportunity to step on that floor, whether that's in practice, whether that's in the game, whether that's in the workout, I'm always just paranoid, like, hey, look, somebody can be coming behind me and trying to take my job. So I just, every single day, it's a new opportunity.
And constantly looking for an edge. For example, you're among a number of pro athletes who have gone vegan and embraced the plant-powered life. How much of a difference has that made for you?
Oh, man, being on a plant-based diet has really changed. I would say, like, a lot of people don't understand how sometimes, like, your mind can get clogged up and a lot of different things can be going on. But I found a lot of clarity. I found a lot of clarity in eating a plant-based diet. And then also, too, my energy levels are way up. And also, too, like the reason why I went plant-based was my cholesterol and a couple other things that was spiking. It was kind of going up. And it kind of runs in my family as well. But I was like, look, I don't want to risk it. And I want to, you know, take a risk and try to see how this plant-based diet is. And I mean, I'm 9-10 months in now, so I mean, I've been really enjoying the process, and I'm missing my food, my southern food, but I'm enjoying this new lifestyle.
I'm fascinated by it. Lance, go back to your first point, like, is the science behind it when you say that, like, what you used to eat might clog your brain up? Is that literally what happens? Like, what does that mean exactly?
Yeah, so I've done some research, and then just like how I feel. There's been moments when, after I'm eating like a big portion of, I don't know, chicken or fish or something like that, I've had moments when I'm either tired or, I don't know, I might forget things. Sometimes, I'm very forgetful. But once I kind of switched over to eating a plant-based diet, it kind of like switched off where, you know, you still get those moments where you're tired, but I feel like when you're eating constantly, especially like
every single, I would say every hour, 2 hours, you're kind of either getting something in your body, a snack or something like that. It really kind of spikes your energy back up to a whole nother level. And I think that that's what's kind of changed in my perspective, is that if I'm able to eat something, putting the healthiest thing in my body is going to give the healthiest results back. And that's what I'm all about, is just trying to take care of my body and prolong it for sure.
Langston Galway is joining us. Now, you and I have talked about your kicks before. The other day you posted a video of yourself with some Jordans in preparation for A Night of the Last Dance. What is the single best pair of Jordans in your mind?
Man, my favorites of all time are the Jordan 13s. Just the silhouette of those. I mean, and watching Michael Jordan rock those in the game, and then hearing him talk about, like, hey, look, I used to rock a brand new pair of kicks every single game. And as a kid, you always get those moments and watch those celebrities and people that rock these different kicks. But I'm like, man, you want to be like Michael Jordan growing up. So I think that's where kind of my whole generation is like that. It's like, hey, look, I want to be just like Michael Jordan. And if I rock these shoes, I feel like that's what's going to, you know, take my game to a whole nother level. And I think that's what inspired me to kind of do the same aspirations. Like, hey, look, I could rock a brand new pair of kicks on the court every single game. And that's what, when I'm working with brands, my brand Q4 Sports, they've given me that opportunity to do that.
All right, so if you came up admiring him the way you did, and you've made it the way you have, what kind of thoughts do you have watching The Last Dance?
It's interesting to hear that so many, like, behind the scenes, like political aspects and just the daily just back and forth with so many different people that he had. I mean, that's what really sparked my interest with just watching, is that, you know, everybody knows the basketball side of Michael Jordan, but nobody knows the behind the scenes. And that's why I was really just glad to see that. And, like, everybody's kind of like take an edge off of Michael Jordan with just so much basketball. But, like, hey, he really is just like everybody else. He, you know, he makes mistakes and does everything just like me and you. So it was pretty cool to see that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I have anything in common with Mike. I've got no game. I can't get up and down. I've got no vert. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Langston Galway joining us. I see where you have some stuff in common with him. Listen, you did an AMA with Bleacher Report recently, and you were asked to name your favorite superstar to play with. And your response, I thought, was really interesting. You said, quote, Melo, he really is a teacher. A lot of people don't give him credit for that. He knows how to teach, helps guys who want to learn. And to quote, it seems to me a lot of people might be surprised by the answer. What was Melo like to play with, and what did you learn from him?
Man, Melo really is one of those guys, kind of like how I quoted it. He really teaches and helps the younger guys. And for me, from a perspective, like, he always would, if it was, like, especially, like, big moments in games, like, he wouldn't shy away from, like, he's going to take his shots. But at the same time, too, he did trust me. When he needed somebody to knock down a big shot, I would, you know, he would kick it to me, I'd knock it down, and he just gains that kind of confidence in you. And I think that's where he exudes that from Michael Jordan. Like, it was the same thing watching the Last Dance, and, like, him trusting in Steve Kerr, because they went to blows in practice, and then all of a sudden, okay, if this guy knocks this down, okay, I can trust in him. So it's almost like a trust factor that needs to trigger. And I think that's why, I mean, I can't speak for everybody else, but for myself, I mean, I really enjoyed playing with Melo and all that he did for me.
Langston, one last thought. You also mentioned another legend, and you were asked about if there's one guy you could have played with who you would have wanted to play with, who was it? And you said Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, who I love. He was one of my favorites. I used to love having him on this show. How did you even know about him, and why did you respond that way?
So, growing up in Baton Rouge, everybody knows him as Chris Jackson.
Sure.
But him changing his name, I mean, it kind of, like, just from the aspect of how his game transferred to the NBA level, I mean, that's what everybody, like, just fell in love with. And to this day, like, he's 50 years old, still playing in the big three. Like, he's still playing. So his mindset, his passion towards the game. And then I had an opportunity to meet him last summer and, like, really talk to him and ask him a couple questions. And he really gave me a couple pointers that I can kind of work on, and it's actually helped my game. So, I mean, kudos to everything that he does. I mean, hey, his mentality, man, is one of a kind,
His mentality is one of a kind, and, man, dude could shoot it.
Yes, yes, for sure, man. Lights out, lights out.
He's the founder of LGKicks9.com. 6 years in the NBA now. Played his college ball at St. Joseph's. Langston Galloway, my guest. Langston, so good to have you back. Appreciate you, and I appreciate the conversation. Let's do it again.
Always, Jim. Take care.
Take care. Be good. Stay safe. Langston Galloway coming back in. And there are 2 hours. When we come back, hour number three, more on Jordan. My final thoughts on the doc. Kind of want to recap Ep 10, too. I haven't done that yet. Also, we had some golf over the weekend. That was good. I've got a player profile. Phone lines filling up, except I've got one open line. Go ahead and use it. 1-800-636-8686. You need an invite to be in the Smack Off. If you get in and you get on and you win, you get $5,000 and you do something that only 14 others have done in a quarter century. Win the Smack Off. All right, third hour is coming up. I got an ATP also in hour number three. You have your phone number. Hit me up on Twitter @JimRome2 or email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, @havetake.com.